What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of An Investor's Journey. On this episode, I wanted to cover automation. So I speak to a lot of investors, wholesalers, and flippers are usually the ones that bring it up the most on how to automate flipping, how to automate wholesaling. So I wanted to get into it a little more in detail, so usually how we speak about it when they bring it up. And hopefully this helps you guys if you're thinking about automating any part of your business to kind of keep a few things in mind. So one, the biggest thing to keep in mind when you're trying to automate something is that you can only automate something that is repetitive, that you can teach somebody else very easily to do. And most of all, and this is, I mean, the biggest reason why automation doesn't work is that it needs to be something that you are actually successful in. So let's talk about wholesalers first. I have wholesalers where they say, you know, they want to get into flipping or they want to do something else. So they say, I'm going to automate my wholesaling side. And as soon as they tell me that, it throws up a lot of red flags for me. Because, I mean, anybody that's actually successful in wholesaling, they know that it's very, very hard to automate your wholesaling side, right? Because the first thing I ask them is like, all right, cool. How many deals are you closing every month? And usually the answer is zero, maybe one, but it's never five, 10. It's never that many. No, nobody that I've seen closes that many wholesale deals a month. So like I tell them, I'm like, all right, so you working at this, you doing this yourself, you can't convert these deals. You can't close as many deals every month doing it yourself, which nobody's going to do it as well or put as much effort into it as you are going to into your own business, right? So nobody's going to do that as well as you are. And them doing this full time themselves, it's their business. They want to succeed. They can barely hit a deal a month. Barely hit a deal a month. Some people hit one deal every 2 to 3 months. So what the hell are you going to automate? You know what I mean? Like, and it's not to be mean. Like, sometimes it just upsets me because the reason people want to automate it is because they're lazy. It's never because of a business decision. It's never because they know the sources are there, that the data is there. They collected the data. They know the process. They have, you know, the guides built out in their business to say, yes, I'm going to automate this because this is my system. This is the process. I can plug people into this area, and they'll execute the same, if not as close to perfection as I can, right? They say always when you outsource anything, you're going to get about 80% of the quality that you put out. So if you can't plug people in like this, you don't have anything that you can automate, right? You're not there yet. And I understand the appeal. I get it. You know, you feel that if you can automate, let's say, answering the phone calls or the property visits or any of the areas, that you feel that you're going to be able to do more deals, right? It's just a numbers thing. If I can be at more places at once, that means I can do more deals. But think about it how it is with you. If you understand, if you're taking a phone call, you have to be able to start the negotiation on that phone call. Now, I have said before that a phone call, usually the only thing you want to do is set up an appointment. And that's 100% true. If you're new, you haven't done this before, you don't want to risk screwing this up. So all you want to do is set an appointment. But if you've been doing this long enough and you have experience, and let's say like ourselves, right? We do a lot of marketing in areas that we know very well, and we want the houses. We understand the areas. We understand the builds. We know exactly what we want. So when somebody calls our marketing from those areas, I can go into a little more detail as to the negotiation, as to maybe overcoming some of their concerns, breaking down some of their because they're very skeptical at times because they get a lot of marketing from a lot of people. And sometimes they call, they're like, what's your best offer right now? You know, give me your offer. And it's because they're kind of, you know, they're very pessimistic about what it is. They've been getting a lot of spam and all this. So you have to be able to break through those barriers, right? And because I care about these deals and I care about getting it done and helping them out and getting a deal done for ourselves, I make sure to put that effort in and I try to diffuse that anger that they have, or maybe frustration from having called so many people or so many people sending them letters. So I can do that. But if you're outsourcing that, and I've seen this happen when a couple years back, because we do a lot of lead management, and a couple years back, we had some investors that they were spending a lot of money in San Antonio, and they would get a lot of phone calls. I mean, a ton of phone calls. So what they did is they hired a VA service to answer these phone calls. And I would see their volume of calls to appointments. And the number of calls to appointments was just stupid low. I mean, really, really low. And I was like, man, you know, I get a lot of people are tire kickers, but you should be getting a lot more appointments than these. So we started actually listening to the recordings of the VA. Man, the stuff that I heard those VAs, they were so disrespectful. They could care less. They can give two shits about whatever the homeowner was trying to say. A lot of times they would just catch attitudes. The VAs would catch attitudes with the homeowner. They couldn't diffuse any situation. It was just terrible. And then on top of that, he had a script that they had to read it from that was asking them, like, I don't know, 20 questions about the house. So now you have a person that doesn't even care about building any rapport. And they're on top of that, they're asking you like 20 questions about your house. The only outcome is failure. You understand? Like, I mean, it was just bad. And the few people that would come through, it's because the houses were just really, really bad. And these people wanted a stupid amount of money for them. And they've tried everybody else, so they didn't care. They answered all the questions and they went through. But they never turned out to be deals. So this is the problem that you have with automation. So unless you're killing it right now and you can afford to lose a percentage. So if you're doing, let's say, 10, 15, 20 deals a month, and you say, I'm okay with losing 5 to 8, maybe 10 deals a month by automating this and just having the other ones just run automatically, and so I can focus on something else that's going to generate me more revenue. If that's not the answer, you should not be looking to automate. You're not there yet. You know, and even ourselves, we don't automate any of this. We handle it ourselves. The only thing we automate is the data gathering. So what we do is this is our marketing process. Okay. First of all, we do research. We figure out what's the price points that are selling the best in San Antonio. So we do this. If you sign up to our Investor Digest, you get the market updates that we do. So that market update that John puts out is a shorter version of the one that we compile for ourselves. We spend a lot of times and a lot of resource to pull all this data. So we're looking at not just the hot neighborhoods, but the neighborhoods next to the hot neighborhoods, because those are the ones that are coming up. You know, if a neighborhood's 300 grand and the one next to it is at 100, eventually you start seeing those prices start increasing drastically because that neighborhood is starting to pull those prices up. So what we try to do is kind of anticipate where those areas are going to be. Once we pick out these neighborhoods that we want to target, we get out ourselves and drive the neighborhoods. So, you know, John and I will get out there. He takes a pad and a pen and I start driving, and we just start driving all the neighborhoods. I look on the left side, he looks on the right side, and we just start writing down all the houses that look distressed, that look like they need some work, that look like they haven't had work done to them in a long time. So we do this ourselves. We try to automate this before, and neighborhoods that we've driven in, that we've gotten, let's say, 80 properties out of, we'll have somebody go in and come out with 7, and we've had people go in and come out with 200. So I have no idea why the ranges. You understand? So we've trained them. We've gone through it. We're like, look at this. Look at the window. Look at the brick. Look at the roof. Look at the grass. We'll point out, and we even did it to a point where we had like grading systems. You know, if it hits a 3, just write it down. And this is what it qualifies to hit a 3. I mean, we were trying to make it very, very easy. To a point where I was like, I'd rather you get more than less, right? Because even if you get, let's say there's truly 80 distressed houses and you bring 100, those 80 are still going to be in there. But if there's truly 80 distressed houses and you bring me 30, we're way the hell under, right? You missed out over half of that neighborhood. So we saw that. We tried it a lot and it's easier. It was costing us a lot more work and headaches. So it was easier for us to just get out there on the weekend and just drive 3, 4, 5 hours, drive these neighborhoods, write down all these addresses. Then we come back. This is what we outsource. Once we get all those addresses, we scan them in and we send them to we have a VA that does this. They create an Excel spreadsheet and they scrub them all, right? So here, when they scrub them, we use a service called Melissa Data. We want to know pretty much when the houses were purchased and any house purchased after pretty much 2010, we don't market to because we want to make sure that there's equity in the property. So we scrub it by that. And what else do we use? Can't remember. I know there's a couple other criteria. We have it written down that our VA uses to scrub all of this. Once they scrub everything, they set it up in a format that all we have to do is just print out the mail labels. And we have our postcards that we just design them at Vistaprint, buy them in bulk. We're paying like about 4 cents a postcard. And that's it. They mail them back out to us. They send those postcards to us. We print out the return labels. And then we'll just pick a Friday, get a couple beers, and we start putting the labels on the postcards ourselves and the stamps. The reason we do this ourselves is the same thing. We've tried to get other people to do them, and they'll put it all lopsided. They bend it over the edge. I mean, and I know what you're saying. You're like, oh, man, I can't believe, you know, people are that stupid. Yes, they really are. Believe it. You know, and it got to a point where just that redoing process and the money that you're spending on redoing all this stuff, and it wasn't necessary. So we found ways of making it more fun. So we just get some beer, we talk about deals that we're working on, whatever, and the time goes by, right? So you do it and it's getting done right. But the only part that's automated is really just like data gathering, all that area. Now we send out all the postcards and the phone calls, the phone numbers, we use CallRail. CallRail, the cool thing about it is it records all the phone calls. So if you're out driving, doing whatever, as soon as a phone call comes in, you can take the phone call, ask whatever questions, set up whatever appointments, and then when you get back to the office, you can actually listen to the recording, write down the address, the phone number, take all the data that you need from it. So we like CallRail. It's pretty cool. So on the CallRail, we actually make it ring both of our lines, because we want to make sure that one of us is there to pick it up. And as soon as the phone rings, we answer it. I'm talking about like not even a full ring gets out before we answer it. And we take down every phone call, set up appointments, and we go see the houses. Because I can negotiate it. I can do everything right then and there. Because the way they called me, they called 5 other people, if not more. You understand? And the problem is that if you're automating this, and you have a whole process people need to go through before you're able to submit an offer, I already went in and already got the property under contract. You understand? So you're competing against people like myself that I'm the actual buyer. I'm not even wholesaling. So I don't even need to wait to try to find another buyer. I'm the one that's closing on the property. Does that make sense? So, I mean, those are the things that you got to keep in mind when you're trying to automate in a very competitive market. Right now, automating wholesaling is very, very tough. You understand? It's very competitive. There's not an amount of deals out there that you're saying it's all right. You know, there's a shit ton of deals like there were 4 years ago. I mean, we were churning down deals because we just didn't have the time. Now it's like, holy crap, if you can just find a couple deals, it'd be amazing. You know, so we don't automate any of that stuff. That stuff is important. is how we're going to get our next flips, our next rentals. So we need to make sure that we're out there looking at every single property. So we don't, I don't know. Every time I see somebody that's pushing automation, it's usually because they're pushing some program or some training or some nonsense. But the only investors that I know that have been able to automate certain aspects of their wholesale business are investors that have brought in other investors and partnered with, right? So they've brought in other people that are looking to get into real estate. They like real estate. They want to learn everything they can. So they're working in their business, you know, maybe on the acquisition side, maybe on the phone call side, whatever it may be. But they're working in that section, and which is automating it from the main business owner, so he can focus maybe on other areas, maybe handling the renovations or something along those lines. Now, this is the way that it works. The issue with this is that usually the people you bring on, they're going to leave at some point because everybody feels like they can do this on their own and make a lot more money. What they quickly learn, hopefully, if they learn anything, is that you get further by being in a team than by being alone. Right? By being in a team, you can do more because it's the same. We go back to the same question. How do you automate? That person is going to fall under the same problem later. They're going to get to a point where they need to do volume and they realize that they need to automate. Now they're going to have to bring somebody else and start splitting the profit anyway. So the best thing is to work within a team that the team grows stronger. The more the team grows, the more deals everybody does. If you're in a good team, you'll be having a part of flips, a part of rentals, part of notes. You'll have a part of everything that gets created within the company, right? So your room for growth is substantially larger. Now, I understand the appeal that it has to go on your own because you look at it, man, look, I drove this neighborhood and I did this marketing and I took this call and I got this property on the contract and I could have made 100% of this deal. Yeah, but how many other deals have you gotten a percentage of that was from prior shit that was been put into place? That was because of their systems that are put into place, because of their resources, their reach, their network, right? So those are the things that you're just not paying attention to. And those are the things that you will realize you will need when you want to scale your business. So if you have a good team that you're a part of and you see that it's working, but maybe you want more money, maybe you want a bigger stake, whatever it is, negotiate it. Because I tell you, it's going to be easier being a part of a team than trying to do this shit on your own. Now, the next group of people are the flippers. And usually, I get this question a lot from new flippers. I don't really get this from advanced flippers because they understand what it is. But new people that get into this that want to flip a house or two, first thing they say is, I want to automate my flipping. You know, why the hell are you even flipping a house? The biggest reason, they think it's just going to be a shit ton of money. They think it's like the shows that they're going to come in, you know, buy a house for very cheap, go way over budget and still walk away with 80 grand. And they're going to be making, you know, $100,000, $120,000 a year flipping houses from never done it, doing this in the past before. In the past before, ever. You get what I'm saying. So they think it's simple, right? And what they don't understand is that the only part from flipping that you can truly automate that's time consuming is managing the contractors. There's no way of automating this. There's no such thing as an investor-friendly contractor. None of that bullshit you guys think that exists out there. That shit doesn't exist. And even if you say, oh, I'll hire a GC, right? A general contractor. He'll handle everything. That's partially, there's a small percentage of truth to that in the sense that if you hire a really good general contractor, they can handle the scope of work. But you still need to break down that scope of work. They can't create it themselves. The reason for this is because you, the investor, knows exactly what needs to get done to that home to get the most value. The contractor knows how to do the job and how to run the job. But you are the one that needs to tell them what materials to get, what goes where, what paint colors, everything. You need to direct the whole scope of it. And you do need to watch them. You need to babysit them. You need to make sure that they're not jumping around. They're not skipping areas. You understand? And a good GC that knows this is going to cost you money. And And I'm talking about the kind of money that kills almost every single deal. You understand? And I agree 100%. They're worth every dime. This is not to say that they are not worth it. What I'm simply saying is that it's hard to find deals where these people can be worth it. Now, we have a GC that's sort of like that right now. We've yet to complete a project with them, so I don't want to get too ahead of myself saying that we found them. But this guy, he's expensive. He's really freaking expensive. But the way that we're working it is that, look, do the renovation at cost and we'll split the profits, right? That's the only way that it makes sense, because now we don't have to babysit him as much. He can do the bulk of the work, handle the project, handle everything, buy the materials. So it frees up a lot of time on our end. But we still need to go check on the project every couple days, making sure that the right materials are going in, making sure that he understands what layouts we're doing, what quality material we're putting in, why we're going this direction, because he needs to understand how the finished product is going to look. We need to be on the same page with this. So automating flipping, especially when you never flipped a house, is the worst thing that you can do. You need to get in there. You need to literally get your hands dirty. I'm talking about, like, you need to get in there and understand what it takes to get this finish, push a project over the finish line. There's a lot of people that get into flipping, they don't know jack shit about construction. And when the project goes south, their only option is to go and hire another contractor to finish this. And usually, that contractor is going to cost them a lot more money, and it's going to cost more to finish it because the last contractor probably extremely underbid the project. Or you paid them too much and they didn't finish it correctly. Either way, your chances are you're going to lose money. Flipping is not easy. It's an advanced strategy. It requires real experience, real knowledge. That's why I tell everybody, if you're going to flip a house, find an experienced flipper, partner with them. Even if it's on a consultation basis, that it's not something that, you know, you're using their capital or anything like that. It's just they're advising you, they're walking you through it or something like that. Give them a percentage of the deal. Pay them for the time. Trust me, it's going to be worth it, because what you're going to learn, you're not going to learn anywhere else. And you're going to learn all this while you're still making money. That is the important part. In real estate, the number one rule is don't lose money. Period. Don't lose money. Don't go negative on these deals. You understand? Because then the lenders get pissed. You lose money. It just doesn't work out. It's a terrible way to do any deals. So stop losing money, and it's really just partner with people. You know, it's the best way to do it. You can't automate flipping. The only way to automate it is, which is not really automating, is just that you bring somebody else that's going to handle that process for you. You understand? Now, in our case, in Prime Homes, John is the other side of the business, and he handles the day-to-day with the contractors. So I can handle the day-to-day with the business, right? So we split tasks. He does one side, I do the other side. That's as automated as it can be, right? I automated the construction by him handling. He handles the business side by me handling it. But in reality, there's no automation there. It's people work. And when we get to a point where we're doing a lot of houses, renovating a lot of houses, and I'm talking about maybe 10 houses a month, which we're not there yet, but once we get to a point where we're renovating 10 houses a month, at that point, we would hire a project manager to work for us. He will be under our payroll, and he will do what we do now. Go project to project every single day, sourcing the workers, sourcing the materials, making sure everything's getting done. That's going to be their job. They're going to be getting paid for that job. You understand? There's no other way of automating flipping. Because anything else that you do that you yourself are not keeping an eye on, shit is going to fall through the cracks and you will lose money. You understand? So stop trying to automate it. And it's the same thing. One, it's either laziness, or two, you don't know what the hell you're doing, which is why you're looking to automate it. You're hoping that somebody else can handle it better than you can. The best part of it is that there can. It's just going to be another flipper that knows what the hell he's doing, and you're going to have to give him a percentage of the deal. But it's doable. And for you, I mean, look at it the same way as the wholesaler. Maybe you're getting 30% of it or 50% of it because you partner with somebody else. You're getting 50% of something that you don't have to go to. you don't have to manage. You don't have to do anything to. Somebody else is doing it. You understand? So now you can focus your time on getting another one. And then another one. And another one. So now you have 20, 30, 40, 50% of, you know, 7, 8, 9 deals that you don't have to go after because you have all the partnerships in place doing it instead of having one that you're babysitting every single day. So I don't believe in automation. I believe that the only way to automate anything is by bringing the right people. Real estate, there's too many moving parts. The market is always changing. Buyers change. All these things, they need to be supervised. They need a human to watch them. You can't get virtual assistants. You can't get, you know, whatever freaking software you want to say does it for you. I mean, I had a meeting with an investor one time that he was asking me the same thing. How do you automate your flipping? We went through a whole spiel. I was like, you don't. And then he was showing me the software that he wants to start using. He's like, look at this. You do the scope of work. You do the timeline. You know, people can get paid and then this and that. And then the contractors come on here and they update the timeline for you, which will adjust the timeline of the other contractors so you can keep track. Man, the program was so advanced and it was really cool. Don't get me wrong. It's a really cool program. But I was like, what? 98% of the people I have don't even know how to use an email, and I'm going to give them this sophisticated program to use? Like, this isn't made, you know, commercial construction. This isn't like, you're not dealing with companies that have the ability to handle this kind of project management. You understand? The guys I'm dealing with is your regular guy off the, you know, from Home Depot that knows how to put trim up. You know what I'm saying? Some guy that most of our guys don't even speak English. They're all Spanish speaking. You know, most of them, like, they're not licensed with some of the trades that are being done. You know, maybe we don't have like a licensed carpenter or whatever. You understand? Because it's just stuff that you got to do and you got to supervise and you got to make sure everything's up to code, you know? And so it's like, you look at all those things and then you want me to incorporate this advanced ass program. I was like, oh, good luck with that. Let me know how it goes. I did see him a couple months ago, and I asked him how his program was working, and he, surprised, doesn't use the program anymore. Because he's like, yeah, I was never able to incorporate it. I was like, of course not. There's way too many moving parts, and not everybody's going to be able to use it. And you're just going to go insane trying to get everybody to use the program. You're creating too many barriers, and people just want to get hired, go do the job, get paid, and get the hell out. They don't want to be managing your system. They don't give a damn how easy it is for you. They're there to do their job, as they should be. Managing the system is your job. So that's my two cents on automation. I hope you guys get what I'm trying to say. This shit is serious. It takes work. You got to put in the work. Don't get lazy. Don't try to look for the shortcuts. If you are, this is not for you. You know, and just be honest with yourself. This is not for you. You just don't like real estate that much. You know, you like the idea of real estate. You like the idea of making money. And who the hell doesn't? But you got to like the work. You got to like the grind. And if you don't like the grind, you don't like the work, there are other ways of making money. Trust me, there's other ways of making money that you can enjoy. So go look for that and get the hell out of real estate. Stop wasting our time and taking our deals. No, but on a serious note, like, it's true. You just got to figure out what's in your passion. You know, you got to figure out what drives you. And if it's not real estate, go to the next thing. Life is, you know, it's short and then it's really long, which means that you have time to put into any kind of dream or business that you want to do. Dedicate the time, be the best at it, and enjoy it. But anything that you choose at the beginning requires a lot of shitty work. Because you got to build it up. Not everything is dream work from day one. You understand? You got to do all the crap. With this business, we've done bookkeeping. We've done, you know, spreadsheets and all the crappy shit that just, it's sitting in front of a computer for hours organizing things. Like, it's not the pretty side of real estate that everybody makes it seem. You know, it requires a lot of work. So if you're not willing to put in that work, it's just, you're not going to succeed. You can't automate it from the start. It doesn't work that way. You know, don't fall for those programs, those trainings, the gurus that are promising automation. you know, make money while you sleep. No, I mean, come on. If it was like that, how many people would be making money while they slept? You know, there's a lot more horror stories than there are real stories. Meet, go to networking event, talk to real investors, and ask them how it was when they got started. The ones that, I meet people now that they tell me, oh, I don't agree with what you said that last time. He's like, you know, I wholesale properties all the time. It's stupid easy. I'm like, oh, really? How long have you been doing this? Oh, 25 years. Okay. I was like, you got money, you got the resources, you have a team of people. He's like, yeah, exactly. I was like, and when you started? Oh, no, when I started, it was hard. It was a lot of work and this and that. I'm like, that's what I'm saying, dickface. Like, when you start, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about for somebody who's extremely successful and has an infrastructure. Like, you're not going to need this help. The one that needs it is the one that's starting off that's barely doing any deals at all. You're the one that's thinking about how to automate all this, how to be successful at it. And the short answer is that there isn't a way. The short answer is you got to put in the work. That's it. Just put in the work. You want more deals? Work more. It's that simple. Yeah. So, well, I hope this was encouraging. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, it was my take on automation. If you have any questions or anything in specific about how we run our business, how we run our flips or wholesales, feel free to reach out. We're here to share everything and anything that we do, any of our systems, anything that we have to run our leads, to run our system. So feel free to reach out and we'll share any and all resources that we have. So hope you guys enjoyed it. Rate us on any of your podcasts, iTunes or anything. That really helps. I really appreciate it. And send me any questions that you have, anything that you want to know specifically about real estate. I'm here to answer any questions. So thank you for listening and hope to catch you on the next one.